tell you what, tonight I'm preaching about the ladies, so brought the double barrel shotgun. I'm ready. I want to preach out of two Bibles, you know what I mean? No, but looks like we're kind of down tonight. You reckon some lady said, you know what, we're not going to go tonight. Preacher's preaching on wives that submit like the church. I wanted you there on that other night, but we don't stay on tonight. No, I don't think that's what it is. I'm just joking. But Ephesians chapter 5 is we're going to be looking at it. And just this sermon goes with the sermon that I preached last Sunday night on the husband who leads like Christ. So if you were here for that sermon, that's good. If not, you should go back and listen to it. It will be helpful in putting things into perspective and understanding the whole story. So Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll just read verses 22 through 33 and get started. It says this: Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, and we, as always, God, we look to you for your direction, for your counsel, for you to speak to us, God. The last thing we need is to hear another sermon from another man. God, we seek to know you. We seek to hear from you. We want our marriages to be conformed to Christ and his relationship to his church. And so I pray tonight as we open up your word that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to comprehend, and our hearts to believe that which you have for us. Help us to see that this is the best thing for our marriages, and the best thing for our lives is for us to align our marriages with your word. And I pray tonight that, Lord, that you help us to see that. Help us to believe that. Help us to put this into practice in our own lives. And God, we just pray all this and give you the glory for any good that comes from it, God. And we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who is our example, who is our hope, who is our resurrection. For it's in his name we pray, Christ our Lord. Amen. So, that last verse, or verse 32, the one before the last in that chapter, I want to read. Last week, before we read it, last week we talked about the husband and what it means to be a husband that leads like Christ. And tonight, what we want to do is look at wives and how they are to submit like the church. And I guess just give a disclaimer before we even get started, and it applies to both sermons. Husbands, you know, you being the loving, serving, protecting, providing leader that God called you to be is not dependent on your wife being the wife that she's supposed to be. Regardless if she is being the wife she's supposed to be or not, you are supposed to be the husband, the leading, loving, serving, protecting, providing husband that God has called you to be. Regardless of what she does, this is your role. This is your commitment that you have made to God and to your wife when you married her. So you're not off the hook if she's not doing what she's supposed to do. But the temptation tonight for the wife who listened to the sermon that we had last Sunday night is to listen with the wrong heart. to listen like this. I hear what that preacher is saying. God says how I'm supposed to act. You know, I understand this is the kind of wife that I'm supposed to be. But my husband's supposed to be the leader. He's the one that's supposed to be leading me and protecting me and providing for me and serving and loving me. And it would be tempting for us to say, at least as wives, for wives to say, well, you know, I hear all that stuff and I want to apply it in my life, but not until my husband starts leading like he's supposed to lead. He's the one that's supposed to take the initiative. He's the one that's supposed to be starting this thing off, not me. So I'm off the hook. Well, actually, no, you're not. And I know that's hard, and I pray that it's not the case in your family where you would have to do this. But the reality is, if it is, then this is God's desire for you, is that you become obedient to Him and that you follow His design for your marriage, and watch as He blesses it. Watch as He uses your submissive, loving attitude to stir your husband's heart to be the man that God called him to be. And I know that can be frustrating when he's not leading you like he's supposed to. You almost feel justified in not being submissive because your husband is AWOL. You know, he's being disobedient. But it's like Peter said in the verses that Michael introduced this biblical manhood and womanhood with, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this, Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And I realize in the context, Peter is talking about an unbelieving husband coming to saving faith in Christ. But I really believe the same thing can happen for a husband who is a Christian and who isn't being the leader that God's called him to be. I mean, we're all sinners. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to say that I have not the right to stand in judgment of any husband, because I fail all the time. It may not be in the same areas as your husband or the next guy, the next lady's husband, but I am a failure. I fail at it daily. Your conduct, my wife's conduct, has won me over and over again. And so, to the wife who is struggling, who maybe has this issue in her life, remember what I said last week, the nagging, and not, that's counterproductive, but what you can do is be a prayerful woman of God who is doing what God has called her to do. And God, in His very Word, says, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. That's incredible. And so tonight, you know, we're looking at the wife. We're looking at you. So with that disclaimer out of the way, I want to look at verse 32. Begin there. Verse 32 says this, "This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." And we're going to back up, but I want you to see the very foundation of everything we've been saying, pretty much this whole series that's been going on for all this time, is this. This is the key that unlocks the door to the treasures of what it means to be a husband and wife, and how it is that we have this blessed marriage is through seeing it in this verse, in light of this verse, that it is a relationship that is showing a picture of Christ and His relationship to the church. Both last week and this week's sermons are titled from that verse. You know, husbands that lead like Christ, and wives that submit like the church. So last week, as we looked at leading, what does it mean to be the leader? Now, we could have went to examples. There are a lot of great men who have been examples and women who have been examples of what it means to be a leader. One of my favorite, though he was not a godly man, was Alexander the Great. He did some really incredible things as a leader that, you know, I admire, although that's about as far as my admiration goes, is just some of those particular issues where he did things that were courageous. He did things that that won the favor of his men, who when they looked at him, they believed he was somebody worthy of following. But when we look at this, when we look at the leadership that God is talking about, what Paul is talking about, he's not telling us to look to this person or that person, which would be easier on us. He's saying, look to Christ. And so we use Christ to help define what it means to be a husband that leads. And so tonight, as we look at what it means to be the wife that submits, we are compelled by this verse to look at the church. To look at the church and how she relates to Christ. To define how wives are to submit to their husbands. He says, look at the church and how she submits to Christ. So, just like I told the wives last week, I think this is even more true for husbands. You have to admit, it's one thing for the wife to say to the husband, you know, hey, you need to step up to the plate, or you really need to lead us to church, or lead us. You know, that is counterproductive, granted. But husbands, you demanding your wives to submit is like a whole lot more counterproductive. It is destructive. It's not going to work. I can just tell you right now. And I thought that I was communicating that last Sunday, but apparently not. I heard a story of a man who was actually telling his wife to submit, and it wasn't going very well, I heard. But that person probably don't even know I know about this. But it's like, man, I thought I said in there that you don't want to do that. I use myself as an example that, you know, that's destructive. You don't want to say those kind of things to your wife. But so it would be counterproductive for you to demand her to submit. Wives, everything we're going to talk about tonight is not, your husband can't demand it. It is a gift that you can give to God, and by grace, give to your husband. Because Christ, granted, he's earned your submission, and your husband should be striving to earn your submission. But as we're going to see as we go through this, and as you see in your home every day, he's not a whole lot like Jesus, maybe. He should be striving to be conformed to the image of Christ, but he really, you know, he struggles sometimes, doesn't he? Some wives are laughing. It's not good. I love it. It's not just your wife laughing, dude. It's other people's wives, too. Don't turn red and get embarrassed. My wife's even laughing. Anyway, let's look at verse 22 and 24. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, before I even get into defining submission and looking at the church, I want you to see that this doesn't say wives are to submit to all men. Okay, and a lot of times what we'll see in other countries is this submission that goes far beyond just being submissive to your own husband. It's this attitude of submission to all men, that women are in a sense inferior to men. And that's not, as I said last week, that's not what we're preaching. That looks nothing like what the gospel tells us submission looks like. Submission is to your own husband. So now, how do we define the word submission? There are different definitions or tweaked and nuanced in this way and that way, but I thought this was a good one. To yield oneself to the power or authority of another. How does that resound with your wife, you think? Submission is to yield oneself to the power or authority of another. I believe that is a proper definition of what Paul is saying to the wife. But remember, we can't just use a textbook definition, because that's not what the Scripture allows us to do. It says that our definition is going to be molded and formed around what? Around the church and its relationship to Christ. So let's look at the church's submission to Christ and then apply that to wives and their submission to their husbands. The first thing that we see about the church and its relationship to Christ is this idea of identification. That when we become believers, we are identified with Christ. Our name changes. Not in the sense that our personal name changes, but we become known as Christians. And why is that? Because there is an identity change. Just like we see God over and over again having these encounters with people in the Scriptures. We see it from Genesis, and we get all the way into New Testament, and we see God doing this. We have this guy, Abram. He is called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and God does what? Changes his name to Abram. See this other guy whose name is Jacob. Jacob wrestles with God, and then God blesses him and renames him Israel. His 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jewish people. We see, as we even move into the New Testament, there's this guy named Simon who has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus does what? He changes his name to Peter. This other guy, after Jesus has died and arose and ascended, he meets this other guy named Saul. Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and he does what? He changes his name to what? Paul, what's up with that? What's going on with him, changing these people's names? It's an identity change. I mean, these people are changed by the power of the gospel, and they have a new life. And it's just, in a sense, God, he gives them these new names, and often his names have symbolism. They have meaning behind them. He named Peter Rock for a reason. Or Simon Rock for a reason, which is what Peter means. But in a real sense, there's an identity change. When he wrestled with Jacob, Jacob is no longer going to be Jacob anymore. He is going to be named this name that all the people, all the Jewish people, are going to bear this name for a very long time. He renames him Israel. Your children will be the children of Israel. And they will wear that name forever. That's what we see here when we look at the church and its relationship to Christ, its submission to Christ, is that there is an identification that comes with that. I'm no longer just Toby Jenkins. I am Toby Jenkins, who is a Christian. That's who I am. I am a follower of Christ. I am a little Christ, is what the word actually means. This is me now. This is what can be summed up about me, is that I am a Christian. And I'm submissive to him because he is the one that I follow. So much so that I take his name. What do we see happening at the altar when a husband and wife are married? What is something that the preacher always says when he gets to the end of the service? It's now my pleasure to introduce to you for the first time Toby and Sonia Jenkins. There is that identity change. And I know there's as I was looking on the internet today, there is this movement of people not doing that, not wanting to take their names. There's several cases where men were taking the last name of the women, and I'm not saying that it's a sin or anything like that, but I really believe that part of what's going on here in scriptures, a part of what it means to be submissive, is that you are no longer Sonia Stockstill. You are now Sonia Jenkins. You have hitched your wagon to mine. Have y'all ever heard that before? That is a word, right? Like a slang. Get your wagon line. This is part of becoming one flesh. We have the same name. We are one and undivided person. And this is God's design. This is what he wants for your marriage. It's all wrapped up in that becoming one flesh. So there is an identification that comes along with submission when you take your husband's name. Then the next thing I will say about submission is there are two things now that we'll look at that are basically the same things that went along with leadership with the husband. And the first one is that submission, well, the first thing I would say about submission is that it's birthed out of love. It's birthed out of love. Wives, your submission can come from no other place but out of love. If it doesn't come out of a heart of love, then it's not going to look like what the Bible wants it to look like. It's going to be perverted. It's going to be distorted. It's not going to be what God wants it to be. So it's birthed out of love. Your motivation for your submission is that you love first God and then your husband. Otherwise, what you'll find is, like we were talking about Sunday morning before last, we're talking about, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, which in a sense is saying, if you love me, you'll submit to me. You'll follow my leadership. You'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we saw that if our motivation for keeping his commandments is anything other than that we love him, then guess what? His laws will become a burden to us. They will bind us up. They will drag us down. They will press down upon us. And they will produce in us rebellion. They will not do what God intends for them to do. And so is the case with the submission that we're talking about tonight. It comes out of a heart and an attitude of love. And this is why it is so destructive when men demand their wives to submit. It is so destructive because you take that away from them. You take away their ability to offer it to you as a gift because they love you, and it destroys it. It just distorts the whole thing. And guess what? That marriage will be crippled until it's made to look right. Or either you'll have a wife that is just, like a puppy that's been abused. It just, every time you talk, it cowers down. There's not an intimacy there, but rather a fear. And the last thing you need is for your wife to be afraid of you. If your wife is afraid of you, you have messed up bad. Her submission to you is supposed to be something she does because she loves you. That's exactly why we follow Christ. That's exactly why we keep his commandments, is because we love him, plain and simple. This submission is a submission of love. And just like the other one that goes along with what we said about men's leadership, is we said that they were supposed to be leading out of love. We also said that their leadership should be filled with service, that they should be serving their wives, which is, as we looked at it, it kind of seemed contradictory because we were always thinking that, the wives are the ones who serve them, because we had this distorted understanding of what it means to submit. And so we like to paint this picture in our minds of this wife who is just serving us. When we get home, supper's on the table, we sit down on the couch and throw our boots up, and she comes and takes off our boots and our socks and rubs our feet. At least that's what my wife does. But that's the picture we like to think when we think of submission, right? You want to submit, woman? Get in here and pull my boots off. You know what I mean? That's not it. Men are supposed to be serving their wives. So take it in context with that. Women as well, their submission is this idea of service, this idea that they are, out of love, serving their husbands. And again, this is not demanded. Your service comes out of love. Your service comes because you want to serve your head, your leadership. As we look at the body and we look at Christ as the head, and like the husband is the head and the church is the body, like the wife is the body, there is a symbiotic relationship going on there, so that when the head is fed, the hand is nourished. There's that relationship. But when you come home, husbands, I know I said this is about wives, but this is that sticky area where I think husbands need to hear it, is that you don't demand these things. This service still has to be a gift that she gives to you because she loves you, a gift that she offers up to God, but a gift she offers up to you because of grace. So if you come home and your demand is that supper better be on the table, you rob it. You rob her service of what it was meant to be. That is her way of showing you that she loves you, providing for you. Don't demand it. Let her give it as a gift, if that's what she wants to do. That goes through the whole realm of the idea of what it means to be a wife. You know, sometimes wives work outside the home. Again, that she is serving because she is helping her husband do what he is called to do by Scriptures, which is provide. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't demand it. You have to let her offer it up as a free gift if that's what she wants to do. So if I come home and I start snorting and kicking because there's no supper on the table, I just completely robbed my wife of the joy of giving that gift of service to her husband. Because now, just because one time I come home and made it look like a demand, like she had to do it, guess what? That turned into a chore for her. That turned into a chore so that every time she goes to the grocery store, she's no longer thinking about blessing her husband and giving him a gift of service and doing these things for him. It becomes a burden to her. You know, what's the easiest thing for me to cook? What's the quickest way for me to get it done? I'm not worried about how well he likes it or anything like that, because we made that gift a burden. And God have mercy on us when we do that. And I've done it before. I've been that man. I was that brute at one time in my life. But you know, I've learned that that's not what God wants. That's not what it means for the wife to submit, is that we are demanding it. It is her gift. And that goes into all the realms of this. It's her gift. Now, I will say things like this. From time to time, if we go a little span without any supper, you know what I mean? It's like, I guess in the inside of me, I'm thinking, I got to say something, right? Like, so this is what I find myself saying over and over again. Honey, she's looking at me with these eyes like, you better watch it. Honey, do you realize that we will die before we make it out of our 40s if we keep eating McDonald's every night? Realize that, right? She nods her head, and that's all I ever say, right? Y'all are supposed to laugh at that. I mean, that's... Yeah. But I do joke her like that, but she usually puts all the time. I'm just joking. But we do live close to McDonald's, and that's really not been a good thing as far as this concept goes. But wives, everything you do for your husbands should be birthed out of love, should be done as a gift. Whether you fold clothes, whether you go and work a job, whether you sweep the floor, whether... whatever you do, you should do because you love, and you offer up this gift to God and this gift to your husband because of grace. I'll say that over and over again, because of grace. Because what we're going to look at is, as we're moving through this, is Christ. That's the model, is the church is submitting to Christ. And as a man, I find it incredibly easy to submit myself to Christ. You know why? Because He loves me. How do I know He loves me? He gave His life for me. I spit in His face. I pulled out His beard. I beat Him. I nailed Him to a tree. And I cursed Him as He hung there naked. And yet He still died for me. Who can't submit to someone like that? And wives, you look at me and think, hey, I hear what you're saying, preacher. My husband didn't like that. That dude won't even pick up his socks. Man, y'all are killing me. I shouldn't be getting them omies and amens. The next thing, though, that I would say about submission, you know, we've said that it's loving, it's serving. It's an identification. And all of these things, you really could even see the identification, you know, part played out in the husband, in the sense that, you know, he wants to be with his wife. He identifies with her. He is becoming one flesh with her. You can see the aspect of love and how the husband leads in love and how the wife submits through love. And you can see that they are both serving one another. Just like that we talked about the body. The head and the hands. When the head communicates to the hand, it's usually not to do things that are harmful to the hand. Like, as we said last week, putting your hand in a bowl of boiling water. You know, that's to us, that's insanity. Why would you do that? Because the hand is a part of you. If it hurts, you hurt. And so that applies into your leadership of your wife. If she hurts, you hurt. If you are demeaning her, you should realize you're demeaning yourself. If you are being hateful toward her, you are really, in reality, being hateful toward yourself. If she is crying because of what you've done, then you really should realize you should be crying with her. Same thing goes for the wife. You know, you don't see people walking, you know, down the aisle of the church or walking outside and all of a sudden the, you know, their hand comes up and just cold cocks them upside the head, right? You don't see that, do you? Why does the hand not rebel against the head and say, hey, well, because that's foolish. That's ridiculous, is it not? But yet we see these things happening inside relationships all the time. We see the hand just fighting against the head. We see the head trying to do things that are hurtful to the hand. I mean, it's just this like, why? Why would you do that? Because in not treating each other the way that God wants you to, you're really destroying yourself. You're destroying your marriage. You're setting yourself up for the fall. But the next thing that I would say about submission is that it is trusting. I believe that's a good word to put in a definition about the submission that Paul is talking about here in submission. In Ephesians, not a submission. We're going to name it Submissions chapter 5, verses 22. In Ephesians, is that it's a trusting. When we look at Christ and we look at the church and its relationship to Christ, we find that this relationship is founded upon trust, don't we? I mean, if you don't have any trust, then you're definitely not going to do any of this other stuff that the Bible talks about. You know, it's this faith, it's this believing, it's this throwing our lives at His feet, it's this just throwing ourselves upon Christ and believing and trusting that He is going to hold us up, that He is the thing that is going to save us from the wrath that is to come, that He is the one that we can bank on, we can trust Him. Romans 1:16 through 17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And he says this, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written," he says, "the just shall live by faith." That means we live trusting in Him. Believing that He is the sovereign of this universe and that everything is in His control. That He's not sitting up on His throne, biting His fingernails, wondering how this thing is going to turn out. He's not like you as you sit and watch these ball games, waiting to see if He can rejoice because He wins. He knows that He's going to win. And I believe that He's going to win. And because I believe and know that He's not up there biting His nails, you know what I'm constantly doing in my life? Stop it. There's no need for that. I don't need to bite my nails in fear because I trust Him. I believe that He is the sovereign of this universe. Paul said it in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me." And he says, "And the life that I now live, I live by faith." Faith in who? The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's why I live by faith, because I believe Him. I trust Him. The one who loved me and gave Himself for me. We trust Him so much so that even when things are falling apart around us, we just know that He has it in control, that things are not outside of His control, that He is for our good and not our evil. We believe where Romans 8, where it says, "All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose." We just believe it. So we can have all these things happen to us. We can get run over by cars. We can, you know, we can lose our jobs. We can, you know, we can have death in our families. And we just, we look at all of it through this, through these lenses that are soaked in the blood of Christ. And we believe. We believe that, that He's in control, and that because He's in control, because He's a good, loving leader who provides and protects us, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be dismayed. We just trust Him. And I hate to even use stories about trust in me, because I am so wicked and sinful, and there are so many times I don't trust God that you couldn't count on using the hairs on my head. But from time to time, you know, we will. And I can remember one particularly hard time that I've even talked about in here was when God, after we had gotten hit by the car, you know, God just really just made it very, very clear to me. Cade can testify to this, as he was preaching at my church when I finally got out of the hospital. I just knew. I'm supposed to go to school. I'm supposed to move to Louisville and step down from my church and step down from both of our positions at the school. And it's hard. Don't know what we're going to do to make ends meet. What are we going to do to put food on the table? How's this going to work? And we just finally just had to say, you know what? We have to trust God. That's what it's all about. We just have to trust God. And you know what He did through that? Is that He so come through that when I look at decisions now, they're so affected by that. Like little things will come up, and it'll be like, oh man, Lord, you know, how's this guy? And then all of a sudden, it's like I get a flashback. Did you forget? You can trust me. And so, we submit our lives to Him. And like I said, this is the part where it gets hard for the wife. Because rightfully so, you can say, listen, it's like we're comparing two different things. Yes, you're saying it's easy for you to submit to Christ, but look, we're talking about my husband. Well, God told me to pack up my stuff and move to Louisville, and that was not a clear, there was not a clear verse in the Bible that said, Toby, pack up your stuff and move to Louisville, and I'll take care of you. There wasn't, but I just knew that's what God wanted me to do in my heart. But yet I have a verse in here where Christ, the one whom we're saying that we trust with everything in us, is saying to the wife, I want you to submit to your husband like you were submitting to me. That's what I want you to do. You submit to your husband in all things, just like the church submits to me in all things. You submit like that. That's what He said. This isn't me feeling in my heart that you need to submit to your husbands. This is God, the one whom we trust, who we know cares about us, who we know is going to make all things work for good in our lives if we love Him, if we know Him. He is saying to you, submit to your husband in all things. I know that must be very hard to listen to. I think about the man that I am, and I think about how hard that must be for my wife. But I believe with all my heart that this is the best thing that ever could happen in your life. It's for you to be this woman who, again, not who's demanded to submit, but who is giving up that submission as an offer, a gift of praise to your God because you trust Him. Because I'll be honest with you, it would probably take a whole lot more faith for my wife to submit to my leadership than it would be for me to submit to God and say, okay, we're moving to Louisville. Because at the end of the day, I'm submitting to one who is perfect. And it's so easy for her to look at me and say, well, he's not perfect. It's so easy for you to look at your husband and say, he's not perfect. He won't pick up his socks. The bathroom looks like a tornado went through it every time he uses it. He doesn't clean up the hair out of the sink. Yeah, I don't have that problem, but I do. That's why I grow a goatee, because that's the longest part of my beard. This stuff won't grow, so I just let it grow so I don't have to do the whole hair in the sink thing. It takes like 20 minutes to get that stuff up. I got to get through with this sermon. But this is my plea to you, wives. This is what I want you to see. about all of what we've been saying is that in reality, it's not your husband that you need to be looking at. He's not the one you need to be gauging his leadership style or his credibility and determining that if he's worthy of your submission. That you need to just completely forget about that. The one you need to look to is the one who come to this earth, lived a perfect life without sin. Then, for nothing he did wrong, he was beaten, unmerciful, stripped naked, mocked, cursed, spat upon, and hanged on a tree, and died. That man, who I think has every right to have won your respect and won your trust, that is the one who you are submitting to when you submit to your husbands. That is the one that you're, in the end of the day, that's the one you're trusting. And what you're going to find, I believe with all my heart, is that as you become that submissive wife that God called you to be, you're going to stir your husband's heart to raise up and be the man that he's supposed to be. Because at the end of the day, you know who you're accountable for? You. The only person you're accountable for is you, wives. Hear me out, wives. You're accountable for you. Husband, guess who God's going to call out on the carpet for everybody in your family? That's you. You need to be the man God called you to be. You need to be the leader that God called you to be. But wives, regardless of what your husband is doing, regardless if he looks like a man that's worthy of submitting to, you need to submit to the Lord and do it unto him. What then shall we say to these things, Paul says? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You submit and love and serve and identify and follow and trust like God tells you to, and he will graciously give you all things. He is going to bless that. So with that, we're running out of time. We're going to pray, and next week, Kate is going to sit down with Sonia and I as we thought with a bunch of couples it could just, you know, we could probably couldn't get done through a lot of questions, as many questions as we could if it was just Sonia and I, not that the other couples probably would have a lot better stuff to say, and I sure wouldn't be afraid about what they're going to say like I am with my wife, but Kate is going to sit down with Sonia and I, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what this looks like, in our home. What leadership looks like, what submission looks like, how that plays out when it comes to buying a car, and how that plays out when it comes to cooking supper, how that works in every area that we can possibly cover. How does that look? How is it supposed to look inside of our marriages? So next Sunday night, I pray and hope that you'll come back and that God will speak. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. I thank you that Lord, that you gave us and have given us the gift of marriage, husbands and wives, someone that we go through life with that loves us, that even though both are sinful, God, we have someone to sanctify us. And I believe with all my heart you have given me the wife that you have given me to further along the process of sanctification in my life, to help me become the leader that you want me to be. And I know without a doubt that you've given her, me, this imperfect man, to sanctify her and to help her to become more like Christ. And I just pray tonight, Lord, for each one of the marriages that are here and those maybe who aren't here and will listen on the internet. I pray, God, that you help them, that you grow them, that you sanctify them, that their marriages become that beautiful, crystal clear picture of your relationship to your church, so that when they're out in the town, when they're in Walmart and when they're out at the restaurants, that people look with amazement as they see this picture of Christ in the church. Pray that our marriages would be evangelistic. God, we just give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.